become very important. I don't know if it is my eyesight, but I'd like you to look at that. Can you see it? But you also have a copy, don't you? The reason why I'm saying, do you see it? It's for when you request a change, and you know, will you be able to see it? That's really what I'm getting at. Okay. So you will see then, let's start off, of course, with the agenda. We need to adopt it. We've got the opening and welcome. We've got the adoption. And I do have a few closing remarks, but that's already captured. So can we please have someone to propose the adoption of the agenda as it is? Yes, Honourable William?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that I move for the adoption of the agenda. However, when it comes to the list of members, I think that that list should be updated as soon as possible, as we have new members here that are not reflected. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. Now, while we know, can I put it informally, what the situation is, the processes in Parliament require that things are, this sort of information is APC'd. And therefore, when new members are taken, put onto a committee, it cannot only be an individual letter per se, but it must follow the process in Parliament. And that process requires that there's a formal letter there to the table, I think it is at the Speaker's office, indicating that X member has been added to this committee with effect from this date, and this member has been discharged. Discharged means you've been removed from the committee, relocated elsewhere. As I sit here, only the Honourable Lowe from the Economic Freedom Fighters has actually been ATC'd. And the person discharged as a full-time member was the Honourable Shivambu, and he's been put onto, what do you call it, alternate. So, of course, you may still participate. Why? Because the rules of Parliament enable any member of Parliament to participate, if that makes sense. So, but we can't list them as full-time members. I hope that's very clear. All right? And we have written letters, I think, Mr. Hamza. You've written it on behalf of the African National Congress, haven't you? You've drafted such a letter because I asked you to. So I hope that that letter, we need to send it to the Chief Whip's office. All right? And if there's any other party with changes, I'm sure you'll let us know. With respect to committee meetings, the committee meetings have not yet been changed in the committee office, on the administration. And therefore, we sit with Parliament's program. Now, I'm sure that'll all fall into place pretty soon, all right? So let us take the apologies. This committee will always have apologies from certain members who are not only attached to this committee, and those members will always come from about three or four. I do have here an apology from the Honourable Teko, who is attending Labour, the Honourable Van Schalkwyk, who's attending Labour. The Honourable Lowe has sent in a medical apology. And, I don't have any other apologies. I'm looking at the DA for some enlightenment. I had an apology for yesterday, but not today, from the Honourable MacPherson.
The Honourable MacPherson is still in the Free State. He's heading back this morning. I came back last night.
Well, we don't have that apology, and one likes to be accommodating, but... No, the thing is, Perhaps you could drop his secretary a line. The other thing, of course, is that we've got everyone here. On that note, then, as we go through the consideration of this budget, please remember, grammar per se is not taken into account at this stage unless it puts a substantive change to the sentence. The other thing is spelling. So keep it in mind that you're going through the substantive issues here. And as you know, I would normally write the introduction once we've been through this meeting. So we've got it up front, and I think broadly speaking, we'll come back to the introduction at the end. So if we may proceed and go to page one. And constitutional mandate is exactly as it stands, and the purpose. We then move to page two. Perhaps you may have a different page. Mine is larger print process. Is that right? I'm assuming that all people's surnames are correctly spelt. And then the SONA. Also, during that process, I must assume somewhere here we noted that this budget is both dependent on a backward look as well as a forward look. So I'm saying this, the unpacking of that, because your budget is, of course, dependent on what your annual report as well, what is the situation there, and the SG's report. And I'm only a little bit worried there because I don't see it clearly spelt out. I know we did do that, so perhaps one of you would like to comment. Anyone? Confuse this with the BIR. How do we know what needs funding? How do we know? So you've looked at the annual performance. The annual performance is the back, you see? So that's how you know that there's a real need for something there. I'm just using that as an example. And then the strategic plan is presented on the basis. Why am I saying all of this? We do have new members in the committee, so what for some of us is old hat isn't old hat to everyone. We then go on to others. We should also note somewhere here, and one of you can just tell me, exactly when was the investment unit given money? It's a recently established unit and division. Time, we want the month, okay? Yes, Honourable Williams?
I'm looking right at the beginning before I get into the report.
Chipperson, we had meetings with many entities and we said that we would try to give them more money. For instance, in NISA, we want NEF recapitalization, we want that to happen. We want the BEEE Commission to get resources. Where do we put those into this report?
All we are saying is that in the intro, and remember what I've just said earlier, the chair will draft the intro, all right? Now, it's not my intro, do you follow? It's not a unilateral piece of work. It's informed by what you comment on. So these are the comments you should be making. That's why one wanted to know about the investment. Yes,
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. The investment unit was separated from TISA. It was a trade and investment unit. Then it was separated from that trade unit, and those two units were separate, and it took its funds with it when it was separated. And that was also indicated in the past year's vote, which is 2016-17.
That's what facilitated the launch, was it, in March, was it? Right. Honourable William?
So, if I got you right, Chairperson, in your introduction, which is basically our introduction, you're going to include MNISA's need for to be given more resources so that they can become, up to date with their building, etc., etc. NEF as well will be also be in your introduction. Is that what you're saying? And also the BEEE commission that needs to be given resources. So all of these points will be in your. So are we only going to mention it in the introduction, or is it coming later?
No, it will also come later. The introduction, in many ways, will indicate to whoever reads this, and we hope many people will read our report, is that this is the broad status, this is the mandate, this is what drives DTI, and in the committee's opinion, broadly, they have had noting the sort of budget constraints that we have. Nevertheless, if it is going to fulfill its mandate effectively, we would need to consider, we're not putting a guillotine on all of this, the issues around NMISA, the equipment, the NEF recapitalization, and the need to ensure the operationalizing of the BEE. So you put it in sort of one sentence, that lot. Okay, now we move on. This is, I may say, as I go through it and having studied it, it's a very well informed report. I see the staff have captured the issues. So let's turn to page 3. Its mandate is captured there. I would have dearly loved to have seen the investment piece of legislation there as well. But I'm just saying that. You say the DTI's mandate is captured in a number of pieces. Do you see that on page 3? Including, so you're not noting everything. But what is important, and I think Honourable Hill Lewis and Honourable Eersterhazen, these things are important for all of us. Do you differ and whatever? So I think the Investment Act, whatever it's actually called, is now expected to drive that. What else is being used as an instrument where we've spent a reasonable amount of money? There's no act around the incentives, of course we know that, but is there an act around SEZs or something? The Companies Act is very important, the Consumer Protection Act. Can I check with you, Honourable Hill-Lewis, do you think we should have mentioned one of the standards or technical pieces of legislation there or left it? We're talking about the mandate, or can we leave it like that, more or less, with investment? And the same for yourself, Honourable Eersterhazen. Because we're not mentioning every piece of legislation, but the critical pieces.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes, Ms. Madalani, did you?
Chair, wanted to note that we are not mentioning all the acts that are administered by the department. We're mentioning only the main ones because there are more than 40 pieces of legislation that are administered by the department. We did not mention the Special Economic Zones Act because it does form part of the Manufacturing Development Act under the IDZ. But we can mention it separately.
No, that's noted. As I said, I think the investment, though, was an important component of this drive forward, you see. Which you've done. I see and read somewhere. The other important thing, let's move on. The NDP has been captured here as well. And we move to page 4, more or less. or point 2.1, policy priorities. Just briefly go through that, give you a minute. Well, I'll take your hand just after this, Honourable Williams. The copyright, as some of you know, was tabled, and we're all very pleased that it was tabled, finally, with us. So we're able then to pull back and go and deal with the Performers Protection Act, which was tabled in Parliament in December, the first week of December. Yes, are we all on track then? Okay. I'm looking at this and looking at some of the priorities, the policy priorities. Yes, Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, I'm not sure if this, I mean, I'm talking in the right place, but you can correct me. With regard to the lack of procurement by SOEs of local products, does that not form part of our policy priority? Because the DG was talking about creating the demand for our local products, and the only way we can create the demand initially is by government actually buying the stuff. So would that not form part of our policy priorities, or else everything else falls apart if we don't have demand? Thank you.
Yes, he did emphasize that and the importance of localization and designation. Carry on.
Not just localization, the procurement by the procurement side of it. So we manufacture it locally, and hopefully it's procured locally by our local company. So it's all about procurement and demand. We need to create that demand and then meet that demand. Thank you.
We definitely do need to. And what are we going to do about it? And now that you're raising it, I would hope that in the speeches, people do point out the need for public procurement in this regard. Honourable Mantash?
I agree, Chairperson, because I had thought that would fit into us talking about the benefits of the benefits that the BBBEE has on the radical economic transformation agenda.
That's right. I think that'll come within our speeches, but I'm looking at this part that's up here. South Africa is part of the continent, is pursuing regional, let's go above that, the SONA one, the incentive development, but that are responsible. You see, what we need to include here, and this applies to you, Ms. Sheldon and Ms. Madalani, I don't think we're making the change that has been requested. You know, the policy priorities. Maybe just add that in brackets somewhere so that you know in that gap between markets in South Africa that that point has got to be factored in. You've got intervention. Does someone have their hand up? But I hope it will be in red so that we can see it. There's a gap here. Look. Just put it in brackets, see, that's all. Then there is therefore a clear alignment. We move to the next page. Yes, Honourable Williams.
Sorry, Chair. I'm sorry for keep taking us back here. With regard to this procurement and the creating demand, that can also feature in the beginning, the first introduction, where we can put it in there, so that we can suggest that it becomes a policy priority, because you know what I'm saying. So if we can't find a place in this paragraph 2.1, we can put it into your introduction. Okay, thank you.
the SADC Regional Industrialization Strategy, the National Development Plan, and the Industrial Policy Action Plan. And I actually think that that is one of the better graphics that we've had recently, because the issue is, we keep on saying integration. Why should we bother about regional integration? For what purpose? Is this National Development Plan, is it sell-by date still, you know, way ahead? And I'm saying this because, you know, you talk in corridors and you hear what's going on in corridors, etc., all over Mark's building, National Assembly, Old Assembly, and then you don't hear anyone speaking out in the committee. So we need to, if this is still relevant, how is it relevant? Do you see? And then our Industrial Policy Action Plan. And may I add that I think, Ms. Naidu, you tried to issue out to us that last bit, you printed it or and sent it by email. Not everyone, I think, was able to print it. That's our problem. Well, yes, I know I got some, but some of the newer members, did they get it? Yeah, well, I don't want people pointing at each other. Mr. Mandima, have you all had this? The latest Industrial Policy Action Plan. Good. Then let's move on. You then have a budget analysis. Now, we've had the benefit of preliminary analysis in this area from Ms. Madalani for some time, but we continue with it. And what's interesting here is the inflation adjusted. And then when you see it inflation adjusted, exactly what it is. For some of us who still struggle with those concepts, we may know that what your parents could purchase with their 1,000 rand, you know, 30 years ago or 10 years ago, is a little bit different to what you can purchase with it now. The nominal is to say, well, we're still earning 10,000 rand. The reality is the buying power is not 10,000 that your parents knew. So we've done an inflation adjusted for folks, and I think that that's quite helpful. We then move on, of course, just to the end, the decrease. And you see what I think is alarming, and I would say that all members are alarmed by this, and that is on the inflation adjusted, there definitely is a decrease in the budget. Do you see that?
Yeah.
Now, I imagine that the debate will be filled with different points of view as to how this impacts on policy. It's a very important point. Okay? So you need all to be clear from where you're coming and how that is reflected. And then we go on to explain this decrease, etc., and the employment headcount, and so on and so forth. And then success in implementing these mandates, which have just been spelled out, which would in turn have a positive impact on the fiscus through increases in taxes, etc., etc. It is important, therefore, to balance the fiscal challenges that are faced by the country with the opportunities that exist with more investment and job creation. There used to be a point of view 30, 40 years back that it was okay to have all these challenges, and as long as you went into debt by construction, by building schools, through education, you were actually developing an investment in the future and something that could be used. But again, a lot of this has changed, you know, thinking around this. You may all need to look at that very seriously as you come into the debate. The budget allocation. You know, when I first saw this pie chart, it hit one right between the eyes, the grey. And then I looked to see what it was. Incentive development and administration, 5.7 billion, 62%. And you know, I do know the moment one mentions administration to anyone, whether it's a donor agency or a government national treasury, they have an absolute fit about it. What do you mean your administration is costing so much? It should be only this percentage of what you're spending on the core issue. So when we look at that, the question I immediately ask is how much of that is pure administration? And that is why you will often hear people saying, oh, well, we can do this, we can give, decide to say only those who are not employed will get a grant and so on and so forth. And then someone else says, oh, the costs of administrating that sort of thing are so huge. Let's just say everyone over 70 or everyone under 6 or whatever. That's so simple, you see. So the costs of administrating this, and I'm asking the researcher this, could she get us, for the benefit of everyone, perhaps in their speeches, a point concerning what is regarded as acceptable in the costs of administration with respect to incentives? Is there any example or comparison that we can look at in that regard? Maybe there isn't. All right, I do know the World Bank has done some studies in this regard, and so has Canada. So then you have a separation, of course, of what is simply administration. And then you have incentive development. And you see here, the administration for the department is a separate program. Can you see that? So this isn't the salaries. And I want this clear, that 62% is not the salaries of your DG and DDG, etc. Ms. Madalani?
Chair, the incentive development incentive development and administration, I think maybe the administration part is a misleading word for the program itself, but it deals with incentives that are given to companies. The incentives that we dealt with, I think, about 2 weeks ago.
What is the best way that we can use?
I can't suggest, Honorable Mantashe, because it's a program of the department. It's named by the department.
So when No.
I'm not saying we must change it now, Chairperson, but I'm thinking that we're communicating to the public. How can we explain it without changing it, without changing how the department is naming that program?
Just a suggestion, in the actual text, what we could do is, within that program, when we're describing it, we could break it down in terms of how much is spent on compensation of employees, how much is actually going to goods and services, and what is going to the companies as actual incentives. Because that could break it down. But we also have a subsection in page 12, where there's, for the entire department, that type of breakdown. So it's only 9.7% that goes to employees, but 83.4% is actually transferred either to entities or to companies.
Mr. Herman suggests a footnote. I've yet to come across any member of parliament that reads the footnote. So I think you've got to have it sitting you between the eyes before we read it, unfortunately. No, but the point is taken. We're moving on the pie. We then go on to this table. Just as a matter of a technical point, I've said this repeatedly, I do not want the tables broken up at all. So, you know, you wouldn't dream of breaking up a pie. So why break up a table? And it's very difficult when the headline of the table's on the page before and then you see the figures on the following page. It's very difficult for anyone to read. And then you've got that breakdown, all right. important. Some of you know that wherever these figures have come from, please make sure that they are correct. We haven't had that with yourself, Ms. Madalani, but we do know on the ATC that a figure has once been misprinted on a couple of occasions. Remember, the ATC is a legal document, you see. So we must. May I suggest you save your space there by just widening that particular one where you see your percent becoming two issues, and make sure that where you have used percent, if that is what you're going to use, then it should be like that throughout. And I never checked that myself, all right? Program one. Some of you should read the FFC report on goods and services and what they call compensation and, what is it, compensation for the salaries? Is it just compensation for employees? They've written a lot of interesting papers. What is it called? Is it the FFC? That's your, in this regard. And it's quite interesting, and that was brought to our attention by the Select Committee. So we also learn from the Select Committee, you know, on certain aspects. Program 3, International Trade and Economic Development. That, just the name itself tells us how important that is. All right? Are we doing what we should be doing? And, you know, you see the names in that 2.4.2, NEPAD, the New Partnership for Africa's Development. And some folks thought that was history. Anyway, it's still there. So is SAKU, the ITED program. Someone was saying to me that the carving out of, was it investment, was taken from, is it TISA? And where is that here now? This is International Trade and Economic Development. How does that figure here? Doesn't figure at all. Yes, Ms. Madala.
It's not there, Chair. It's program 7 and 8. Those that were one program that were separated. We used to have 7 programs. Now we have 8.
No, right. That's something that should be in the introduction. I'll put that in the introduction as well. But when did we increase?
Last year, last financial year, Chair, in the last budget vote report, it was there.
Someone's highlighted supported 22 entrepreneurs, 2.4.3. Is that because you're checking on it? Special economic zones and economic transformation. While I'm on that point, we are undertaking a study tour. But we have to finalize it this week, our application. I'm saying this for the benefit of all political parties. And this time it will be agreed to, but it's a question of not more than 10 days or 9 days, including travel, I believe. Was it 8 days, including travel? And I want you to keep that in mind as you go through this budget. One stage we thought of the special economic zones, and at another point in time, trade, another point in time, gambling. And now debt. You remember that issue. Right, the next item will be 2.4.4, industrial development. Now when you go back to that magnificent pie, the industrial development gets 20%. Do you see that? After the 62. You saw that pie? But what we need to ask ourselves here, in the incentive development, that is closely related to industrial development. And if we understand this and the value addition thereof, we will understand how much of industrial development is captured in the incentive development. Do we all get the researchers? I see some sitting on the left there. Yes, Mr. Young. Okay, right, 2.4.4, we've done that then. But you see here the last paragraph there. The program's budget has increased to 1.7 odd billion to 1.8, an increase of 5.3%. In nominal terms, nominal, the actual real increase is not even 1%. Do we see that? Right. 0.9, isn't it? Decrease rather, not increase, decrease. The increase there, but in real terms, a 0.9% decrease. Why is this really the case? Let's get away from the figures. What does it impact? It's not a test, it's not an exam, it's a sharing of news, information. Come.
I was still copying from Mrs. Shelton's notes, Chair. I think the real explanation would come from the department. We do not want to assume.
You see, we've been working with this budget, honourable members. We've actually had them before us. We've had them before us, the departments. You know, and essentially, people could say, well, what did we learn? We've done an oversight. So what is the issue then? An increase of 5.3% nominally, but a decrease of nearly 1%. Do you see that? Now, the question I immediately asked is, will that be helped by the increase in the incentive percentage? Do you see? Because we've just said the incentive development is directly linked to industrial development. Remember? So we're going to ask Ms. Naidu to get us a response from the department on that. Is that all right? Yeah. No, we shouldn't be going into the debate not knowing that, all right? Then we go to program 3, consumer and corporate regulation. Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is Ford Cougar. But now, this is the new budget going forward. You have to ask yourselves, most of you were there with Ford Cougar, weren't you? And you heard what the CCR said, that it seemed as if there were certain constraints as to why they could not address this immediately. Do you remember? You were there. Now, what are we saying? Because that's a serious matter. Yes, Honourable William.
Chipperson, as I recall, Ford said that they attempted to fix the problem with a small pipe or something to make it not overheat, but then that didn't work, and then they came up with a redesign of the whole cooling system. So when you say, what are we supposed to do, what do you mean? I'm not sure what you're asking.
No,
you know.
Not Ford. The CCR. Don't you remember they tackled it pretty late? Consumer and corporate, sorry. That's the division. It's in there. The NLC, the National Consumer Commission, the NCC. So in their consumer and corporate regulation, under the NCC, the National Consumer Commission, do you remember they were the entity relating to that? And when we did this whole oversight and the public hearings in the old assembly, it became clear on their own statements that at one point they had got the authority to have done X, but wasn't done. It wasn't stopped. Do you remember that? But then we were told part of that was related to capacity. So I'm just saying, this is the budget. Do we say, well, look, that's a lesson they'll learn as to how to prioritize their resources and leave it? Do we leave it like that? I'm saying that was the most serious issue which cropped up there. Right, there's the committee would like to see it left.
Chairperson, the capacity issue that they were referring to happened because of the incident. But if there was no incident, then they would be fine. So the question is, are we going to give them money in advance for something that may or may not happen? Do you know what I'm saying? So is that, I don't think we should. I think we shouldn't give them money. Yeah, yeah.
Well, then maybe the way we should begin to word it is along the point of, this slip-up here should have been a lesson learned, literally, as to how to prioritize resources when these issues come up. Because they did know what to do, but didn't do it. It was a slip-up, basically. It doesn't require resources, did it? Extra resources. What do you think, Ms. Madalani or Ms. Sheldon? All right. I think that's what the committee is saying. And that in future, if that is supposed to put the safety of South Africans first, then there needs to be a closer relationship between the National Regulator for Compulsory Specs, who pointed out that was not one of the things that they had to check. Do you remember that? But that on hindsight, maybe they've got to look at what they automatically accept as the standards from Europe. Now that's in our public hearings. So please look that up, because those are the things that South Africans remember. And what are we saying? Then we need to look at Program 6, Incentive Development and Administration. The program captures the core mandate of the DTI. The share of the budget that is allocated is evident there. The program law. In this 5.7 program has seen the largest increase in the budget. Increase 1.1 billion, but in real terms, 21.5%. Pardon? Well, I didn't see that. Where are we? The program has seen, you see, this is too small for me. I really... What we were saying earlier about the programs, that there is a decrease in real terms, 21.5%. I think the worrying point is what comes next, the manufacturing incentives and the infrastructure investment support funding have been significantly reduced. I think this is a major concern to us then. We had 2 days on incentives, and this issue came out there as well. Anyway, what was suggested there by some member of the committee, I'm not sure who it was the need to look at another type of incentive. the other type of incentive was linked to tax. Well, I don't think we explored that sufficiently. Because we do have a tax one, don't we? Isn't that the 12i program? The 12i currently. Program 7, trade and investment. Yes, thank you very much. Do come forward. That is the Honourable Mahobani. Mbuyani, sorry, Mbuyani.
Thanks, Chairman. I wanted to check what is the impact in terms of the decrease on the 2.4.6, because we're believing that the incentive development, that's how people can be able to get some jobs and be able to advance the policy, the participation of BBBE, the black industrialization. So I wanted to check in terms of how are we able to meet our program while in terms of decreasing in terms of the incentive. Thanks.
See, this concern has been raised. Maybe we could get another comment. It particularly affects, I think, is it DDG Strachan? Let's get hear from DDG Strachan, who's the DDG here, what the issue is. The impact and Malebo, is that Malebo there? Mabichi Thompson, is that right? It is a matter of concern. The ongoing, well, what was intended, we were told when we got the investment South Africa, is investment South Africa was carved out in order to bring in more investment to try and address that. That was stated during the launch of that investment program very recently. But, I mean, it's recently been launched. We may need to look at the amount of investment that has occurred this year, but also the investment commitment we can expect in this budget year. Because if we can get investment, we'll be able then, you can see, to have that increased revenue to do more. But right now, that's a brand new program in many ways. And although it's a one-stop shop, it will require us monitoring it very carefully to see if it's achieving its objectives. So if you could get that statement for us. And as these statements come in, it would be useful for us, Mr. Herman, to try and let all members have it immediately, you know, and then incorporate it. So people get it, and then you find it in the report later. All right? We then go on to program, the investment South Africa is linked to that one, but it's 2.4.8. And that's the one with Eunice Hoorsen, is it? Through the national one-stop shop. I must say, when I was there, a number of countries said how this would speed up what they call the visa problems, challenges they were experiencing, and also speed up the financial and tax implications. So it would be useful for us to try and get a report from them after our budget in the second quarter to see how they are doing. And what we should note then, Ms. Sheldon, Mr. Hermans, is the need for us to indicate that the committee will be tracking this because of this relationship. All right, we're expecting a lot more investment to result so that we can pick up from that and try and in some way alleviate the incentive issues there. The budget allocation by economic classification, that is just a different form of breakdown, and you then get issues like the 2.6. What is interesting is the overview of the budget allocation, the table there, table 2. where 9.7% is compensation of employees. That is considered quite low, certainly below average as governments go, way below. Goods and services is often where you find consultants, am I right? I see that is 6.6% of the total budget. Transfers, in fact, most of DTI's budget, the trade and industry's budget, is involved in being transferred out. And arguably, that's the way to do it. You know, the way to do it, we're expecting the private sector and the SOEs to create jobs. I'm sure that's what all of us are saying, and one hears it even more from the members of the opposition benches emphasizing this and the need for the private sector not to be crowded out, as it were. Well, this is the opportunity for them to be crowded in. Payments of capital assets. Just spell that out to members, please. Payment for capital assets. I know we sometimes expect you to be an authority on everything.
It's equipment that is used by the department, such as computers and laptops and furniture and software.
It's not leases. You know why I'm asking this? Because in one of the budgets I see electricity and the installation and all of that, and then the first use of it was regarded as a capital asset, the testing phase. So I'm just asking that. You see, what are our capital assets? Are they only for the actual physical assets, computers, etc.? Key issues raised, page 15. State-owned enterprises. What is the biggest thing we raised there? Was procurement, if you remember. And the flouting of all the procurement regulation by SOEs. And I would like to have seen that clearly stated. Even in our oversight, this came out very, very clear. And in fact, have we had these responses back from that crowd? Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, I think we should be more strong in our wording. We should say we condemn the practices of SOEs that don't comply to the, you know, the local procurement policies. You know, we should be very scathing on them in this report. We shouldn't just say it should just be a point, you know, the committee's upset. We should say that it's so important for the development of South Africa and also for the whole incentive program we want and for all of our incentives. In fact, if we don't get the SOEs on board, I mean, it's just going to deteriorate to worse and worse. So we should use words like condemn and strongly condemn and things of this nature in this report. Thank you.
Let's look at other members of the committee. I'm looking at members of the opposition. In the end, this is not the ANC report per se. It is the committee report. You know, we do have this report crafted for us, having compiled what we said during these engagements. And do you share the view that we should have used stronger language when it comes to how the SOEs have flouted the procurement, the public procurement regulation, or are you happy with the way they do business?
That is what you call a false dichotomy. No, I'm perfectly comfortable with stronger language. Condemn the practice.
Sorry.
I want to check whether maybe it's not necessary with our report, whether it is sufficient for us to condemn and not come up with a recommendation.
I hear what you're saying, and if you all recall, when we had the oversight, oversight engagement with the Auditor General and National Treasury, etc., and DTI, we actually made a proposal then to the Auditor General. Do you remember? That, yes. Now, come on, I think you're half asleep. All right, Honourable Williams.
Yes, so basically we should put that proposal in here that we say that it should be something that people are audited on, their local procurement, degree of local procurement over a period of 12 months, whatever they're audited on. And it should be something that they're measured on. We should... Yes. So that when the SOEs buy stuff that is manufactured in South Africa and they buy stuff that's not manufactured in South Africa, if they've got the choice to... they should be penalized for that. Something should happen to them. Their CEOs, for instance, should not get a bonus.
Let us first hear from Honorable Hill Lewis before we come back.
No, Chair, my understanding is that was adopted. I think the Auditor General does include that as an audit requirement now. But, you know, they're still, I think it's the first year that it's been done, and there's still very little, not action, but...
And when was it actually adopted and implemented? Have you any idea, Ms. Naidu, when DTI began to check on its implementation, the procurement? The DG? Yeah, but the DTI should know when it was because there's a relationship there. We'd have to check with the AG, but I think what's important is this, that it is very, very important. And in fact, during this budget report, we can raise the issue, because you do go backwards and forwards. The oversight was in January, end of January, February. Why? To assess what was being done, so that when we come to this process, we may be better informed on that area, in that area. And it came very clearly home to us that it would appear as if National Treasury only recently changed this public procurement legislation, amended it, and we need that date. Do you think? When was this amended? To bring us all into line, you see, so that we could then hit harder. You know, when we give someone a hiding, as it were, and really bring them back to heel, it needs to be informed. Had they had 1 month, or have they known about this, and what is the relevant piece of legislation that assists us in this regard, and who is effecting it or assisting us? So I'm going to ask for that to be rejigged somewhat, you know. Do we agree, and expanded on and spelled out a lot more clearly, these state-owned enterprises, right? Okay, status of a goer. Well, as you know, it would appear as if President Trump has got a lot of other domestic issues to worry about. So the status there is much the same. Well, you may remember what you once said, Honourable Hill Lewis, that about 100,000 jobs are created in America. So maybe better not close that one down, because we were only creating, 50, 60,000 jobs at that time. Maybe worthwhile to see what we're projecting now, Ms. Naidu, you know, right now. And that may be why he's very happy about it. Development funding. Yeah, the People's Republic of China has emerged as one of the biggest global players. Mm-hmm. But of course, we are all well aware that we still run a deficit there. Are we aware of that, everyone? And the view is, from the Chinese side, that it's a matter of interpretation. And the view from us has had the figures clearly spell it out differently. But what is happening, and I understand this is ongoing, is that our technical people are engaging on the matter. seeing whether our both our calculators are the same and that kind of thing. Awarding of contracts as part of the Black Industrialist Program. Now, I couldn't hear myself, you're right. So the Black Industrialists Program, we, Honourable Mantashi.
On the letter that we've just mentioned on China, when they say it is only, when they say what they're saying, what do they mean? Because I have learned from what they were proposing. They were proposing for one of the developments in our province.
Yes.
A development of Uzi Wude, which requires 14 billion rand. They're coming to say if they can fund it. Only if we are not going to offer human resource in that development. And what type of a development is that? And that's why I was asking yesterday, our benefit as a country on the Brexit, what is it? So I'm just saying.
I think our position has always been clear, and it's the second term round on the same matter. And that is, we want productive investment. That when it comes to human resources, which we regard as a significant capital, human capital, that it is very important. If your project is not employing, you know, at least 60-70% of our people, you're busy transferring these skills in the first 2 years. And I think that's always been the view of trade and industry. I know when we've even gone to the SEZs, I can't recall having gone to an industrial park yet, but that you can bring in the core people who you believe have got the specialist or expert knowledge, but they can only stay here for so long. But I haven't yet come across a project, Ms. Sheldon, in which we agreed to accept billions without no human resource development. Have you? Next page, right. Just keep the flag that, flag it. So if we look at the next page here, we then look at, it looks at the different programs, criteria for companies within SEZs, DTIs, incentive program. What number are you looking at? Criteria. See, raise their concerns around the companies within the SEZ not using local labor and suppliers. But you will recall on that local labor issue, they were there for the requirement of their visa, you know, for the duration. And the duration of the visa was not more than 6 months or a year. Wasn't that it? And that is why they complained. They complained to us because they could not increase their visa length. Isn't that really... fit on this matter. The issue I'm referring to is an actual visit to the SEZ. But, Mr. Hermans, will you go ahead?
Chairperson, I think the issue was raised by Ms. Montash about SEZ companies in SEZ not employing local labor and suppliers. And the DG explicitly indicated to in the response that as part of the agreement, any company that comes into that is in the SEZ cannot bring in their own labor from outside. So the Chinese company can't bring in the Chinese laborers, but should use local laborers and suppliers.
I think that clarity should be put in so that it's quite clear what we mean. The incentive program, this is a pity the Honourable Macpherson isn't here, but I know that Honourable Hill Lewis will pick up on any of that. How the DTI contributed to the black, what measures, etc. Well, there must be compliance with the triple BEE before an incentive is granted. Some incentives clearly state the level of compliance in order to qualify for any incentives. I was under the impression from the commissioner of the triple BEE that this was now addressed and that it stated this for all of the applications for incentives coming forward. So in future, in fact, now with this budget, this is the case. Wasn't the case before this budget, Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, in the meeting we had around this, we did raise the issue about compliance to equity, not just BE ownership, but actual management inside the companies. What are they complying to the equity laws, the labour law on equity? And if not, why are they? We should raise it in this report as well, not just the BEE, but also employment equity of those companies that receive government funding. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. As we're there in the incentive program, and they're saying, however, we're having challenges in terms of implementing the policy of the black industrial economies. So I think we must be able to indicate as to have a strategy and turnaround, and definitely what is it that we're going to do to turn around the situation so that more people get employed and as per the policy. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Buyani. And I think we're noting that, aren't we? Table 3, entities. Gambling Board, National Credit Regulator. Just while we are here, we've got all of these entities here. The gambling, I believe, will be here this year. The legislation is going before Cabinet. Where's the liquor, don't we? Now, entities, it's gambling. Liquor's a separate issue, right? Yes, sorry.
Chairperson, at the bottom of that table, it talks to the monies that have been going to be allocated to the Metrology Institute. Now, is this money is going to cover their problem or do their infrastructure? So they are happy with this amount, or do they want more?
So that Ms. Naidoo can respond to both. Also, the NCC had requested a raise in their budget. I'm not sure if this 0.7% is or it represents the increase on their budget or what?
In this funding, is it not a special funding from National Treasury? Because that was initially what was requested. Can I hear from you, Ms. Naidu?
Some money has been given to NAMESA. I'll just check the figures with Jody. With regard to NCC, there was no additional funding.
Just say that a bit louder.
With regard to NCC, there was no additional funding, but I'm aware that funding has been allocated to NAMESA. Mm-hmm. I'll just get the figure from Ms. Goss.
Now, when you say it's funding to the value will receive, it's not in this budget. Yeah, it's not reflected in this allocation, but it will receive this. Yeah. Now, not the outer years, let's just hear. Yes, Ms.
Chairperson, NAMESA will receive that money in the 2017-18 financial year. However, it is not the money that they require for the building. They need more money than that. Those are the initial stages of making sure that there is a building, but it's not for the actual building. That money is separated from the initial allocation that is on the table, because the amount that is on the table is the normal allocation that they receive each month, each financial year. If you were to add this amount to that, it will seem like NAMESA has a huge increase, which they don't have. Hence, it is stated separately under the table. So it's not for the building. They still do require a lot of money for their building, which they didn't get in this financial year.
NAMESA means very little to anyone. Very few people even know how important it is. We know we couldn't even trade without NAMESA. Our babies would be dead when they're born. Because why? All the measurements, you know, come from there. You know, the when you calibrate, all the calibrations on the syringes on this, that, and the next thing. It's vitally important, which is why, as we all know, when there was a problem on these syringes in the Eastern Cape that time about 10, 12 years ago, we had these deaths, etc. So if you can't calibrate, you don't know how genuine that is. Well, can you imagine how serious this is? So this is not just any piece of technology. This is vitally important to the safety of our people and our progress. So, you know, I think when we say the national metrology, I don't know, you know, I think you should just put some form of an example in there as to exactly what it is, then explain about the funding itself. We want funding outside of this funding. Do you follow? We need it for the equipment. Yes. Yes, Ms. Sheldon.
Chair, just to alert you, the top section is just to give an overview. We can just put a rider there to say, as discussed in further detail below, because there's a section for them. We will just make sure that we've unpacked it nicely.
Thank you very much. Sorry, Honourable William.
I get what the department is saying, Chair, but I'm asking, does what they say mean that even in the next budget, in the next financial year, NCC will not get extra budget? As NCC, because I was saying they must respond to both. I hear what you're saying about NAMESA, but what about the request that NCC was making to the committee of extra budget allocation?
Thanks, Chair. I'm going back to the metrology thing. I think that we should somehow emphasize the importance of it. You know, in America, they told us, or they told us in a meeting that in America, this department falls under the presidency. you know, it's that important. You know, the presidency is in charge of two things, you know. He's in, obviously, the presidency and then the measuring. So in other countries, they put high priority on it, and we should put high priority on too. And in this committee, we should highlight it as one of the most important, you know, things. Because even incentives, you know, manufacturing will come to a standstill if we stop, if our measurements start becoming problematic. Thank you, Chair.
That sentiment, you know, and I certainly do. It's I always remind people it brought about the French Revolution. Anyway, and maybe we'll just get radical economic transformation. NAMESA, metrology. Because you will recall that the farmers had to bring in their bushels of wheat, the seigneur. But he used different weights. His weight was not your kilo. So he got extra. So you said, but this is not according to this one. Well, it's actually, you know, reality. Go to the French literature. Right. The spark may well have been the Bastille, but a revolution doesn't happen overnight. And it was, why do you think all these farmers were running with their pitchforks and rifles? What were they doing there?
They were looking for cake.
No, but I think we all hear the point. It's all right. Okay. Broad-based Black Economic Empowerment Commission. Finally, we expect to see this a reality, Ms. Naidu, pass on our sentiments, the Commissioner. And we did raise issues around this. We do believe that, as long as one keeps a track on it and one ensures that it does what is intended to do, and that is, yes, while transforming and ensuring we have the profile of our economy reflects that of the country's demography, demographics, at the same time, it's not there as a break on economic development, that there's a complementarity there, and so on. And anyone, I think, in terms of the budget, remind me, Ms. Sheldon, we were short of funds last year, which is why it was somewhat constrained in its operations, the commission. The broad-based Black Economic. The broad-based Black Economic Commission, BBB. What is it, Ms. Sheldon?
Ms. Fox, they've requested for 100 million, and I recall the acting commissioner indicating that they received 20 million at the moment, but the rest of the money will be transferred to them in due course, they're hoping this year. The reason being the 20 million allocated to them, they don't have any operational costs in terms of, they will be using the DTI's financial systems and HR systems and stuff. Yeah. Yes. So there's no additional cost in that regard. So they're just waiting for the other allocations to them.
So their savings, the reason they are able to cope with the 20 million is because savings have arisen and been effected, arising from them sharing the same premises as the DTI, as well as utilizing the DTI's not only financial systems, but human resource and other related systems. So effectively, their overheads then would consist of respective, their salaries, remuneration, compensation. Is that clear? But I do think that their research into matters, and this was raised when we were in one of the V26s or whatever, 29 upstairs on the other side, that this issue was raised, that they do need to have more research done into an application or into a complaint that arises, and they don't necessarily have sufficient capacity for that. They are coping, but I'm not sure if we can talk about another year's delay. I would suggest that the balance of this 100 million is reviewed so that it can be effective sooner. Let's look at this medium-term analysis 3.1.3. This is basically explains how the Act is done. You then move very quickly to pay key issues that are raised over this three-year expenditure. And there you see what we've already read spelled out. In fact, it talks about lack of political support for BBBE implementation as being an important message, and that it was important that the political leadership express a positive and consistent message. And then the status of fraudulent BBBE certificates, that the verification space here to ascertain the reasons behind issuing of that. Where the Commission discovered a fraudulent certificate, it had requested companies to provide the information on how it obtained it. And then verification agencies were then asked to withdraw the certificate and inform their clients in writing. The Commission did tell us, though, that where this was clear, you know, fraud had been committed, it would recommend prosecution. Back we come to the SOEs, another bullet. Non-compliance. Tell me, what do the SOEs comply with? What do they comply with? Can someone tell me? Silence. Absolute silence. No doubt they do comply with the review of their remuneration annually. Now, I just don't think we're going to tolerate this, Honourable Mantash.
In fact, Chairperson, as much as they don't comply with any of our policies, the one thing that I discovered from the oversight was that they are, and that they will never agree to this, their salaries are above the public service salaries. So the most of the money that we're giving them is going to their remuneration, not the core business of the SOEs. And if we don't in the future deal with this matter, it is what is going to blackmail the government. Because that money is, we don't get value for the money we're paying them. Their salaries are too high, their bonuses are alarming, Chairperson. And I think we must go back at some point and deal with that matter and make a proposal or a recommendation.
A number of countries during the financial crisis globally actually cut bonuses, suspended them. There was a moratorium. Now, can you tell me why we are not suspending bonuses?
What an outrageous decision. Truly radical. Radical economic transformation. I'm thinking of people bonuses when they need to work every day.
Yeah, well, what we want is active performance of your core business. That is what we want, surely. So the BBBE, the budget of the BBBE Commission, EE Commission, and then we have 3.2, the Export Credit Insurance Corporation, which is a little bit of a Cinderella. We sometimes leave it alone, little realizing that it was established in terms of the Companies Act to facilitate export trade and cross-border investment, which immediately says that is important, isn't it? Canada. So they then, to fulfill its mandate, it undertakes X. It seems that we have very little to say about it. I think I'd like everyone to get their heads around that one so they could come back to me with something on the email, strategic goals of it. And I'm on 3.2.1. Moving down to 3.2.2. There has been talk, you know, of a bank dedicated just to trade. Number of people speak about that. And, you know, that's something that would be looked at there. Just a minute. The annual performance plan. Anyway, what we do say here at the end, you know, just before 3.2.3 are two sort of diagrams there, and before that you'll see revised performance targets, but above that it says a number of performance targets have either been removed from the APP or revised. There was one new performance indicator for 2017-2018. 90% of all vacancies filled, two research projects, etc. They're going to be conducting a consumer, whatever. But the key issues raised during the committee's deliberations were going to be finished in 20 minutes at 11:30. The ECIC, rationale for the removal and revising of performance indicators. It's very difficult to review the outcomes of a previous year, you know, the budget, when these are missing, and you've changed them. And it's an old, old trick that entities use when they don't want you to know what they're doing. The impact of the volatile exchange rate, or the volatility of the exchange rate, not just that one, all right? They acknowledge the impact of volatility. Acknowledged under the impact of that exchange rate the volatility of the currency on its budget, but informed the committee that the ECIC covered it in dollars. Now that's a very good point made, and I think it's something to be made in our report very clearly, because all of us are concerned as to what that impact could be. The reconfiguration as an export-import bank. They have to facilitate international trade by providing commercial and political risk insurance to South African exporters. And the committee noted that the ECIC was considering converting into a fully fledged South African export-import bank. I think the matter, as we talk, is still under consideration, but I think the principle has been decided, but they're looking at the measures as to how this can be effected, which would enable the ECIC to look for other sources of funding. The National Empowerment Fund were recently here, and you know, they were telling us that their capital, what do you call it, the recapitalization, which would be effected by the IDC, am I right? Is in the process, but has not happened yet. Do you remember that point made? And they underlined it with their appeal that this could be expedited because they were doing a lot of commercialization, funding, operationalization of the agro-processing industries and working closely with agriculture. Is it the partners are deaf. And of course, trade and industry. And you see that there into a DFI. I think it's worthwhile looking again at what the interest rate is, and we've been led to believe that the interest rate is lower than commercial banks, looking at the researcher and Ms. Sheldon, that it is lower than commercial banks, because that's the criticism of DFIs. They have had to cut down their deals approved because of the value of disbursements. And they then list a number, and I'm going to one called Program 4, 3.3.2.4. The value of deals approved by Rural and Community Development Fund adjusted down to 93 million from 140. That's a lot to go down to. And I think when you look at what is being given for that, it is certainly value for money and an area that we cannot lose sight of the contribution that agriculture can make to the GDP. Agriculture has to be, it's not our direct area, we relate to them through processing. But no country of our size and population can afford to buy food to the extent that we are sometimes forced to. Medium-term budget analysis and the projections. I'm not going to look at the projections. Suffice to say to the technical people and staff, yes, we can read that, fortunately, but just to mention...
$5,629 new or existing jobs opportunities adjusted down to, or from, I'm sorry. It's not to, it's from, okay. I'm sorry.
I was just going to ask you, ever put the final compilation, has this been photostated, this table? Because it's smudged. I mean, you know, yes, Michelle.
Chair, we're still in the process of cleaning up this section of the document, so I will make it a normal table and not a picture.
And one struggles to read it. And then we're looking at the NEF, the recap. We've said that already. We go on to the key issues. Yeah, this was quite important. I hope everyone's looking at what I'm looking at. 3.3.4. Slow pace of economic transformation. That was raised. And then the lack of economic transformation as the economy was still being controlled by monopoly, white monopoly capital. And then it was agreed with the committee that it should express an opinion of the slow pace. A concern, though, was the support provided by government and the SOE to white, and the SOE to white capital. I see the issue here is the government's giving us so much money, but the state-owned enterprises are giving more money to companies managed or controlled by white capital, as such, white monopoly. And approximately 50 billion. Funding provided to the NEF to support that was inadequate. Well, that is why we are... raise your hand. It may well be extremely pertinent. Honourable Mabanyani?
Sorry, Chairman. We are wondering if the billion goes back to the white monopoly capital or what? Because if the department gives incentive to programs, then
and the programs goes back to buy from the very same people there. Then we were just checking as to are we clear in terms of...
Your mic is not being that effective. I can't hear you.
No, we're just checking in terms of the 50 billion per annum. That is funding to UNEF. That it is clear. I'm not so sure in terms of, because they said with the committee that it should be expressed opinion, slow-paced economic transformation.
Sure.
Yes. So it's a concern that target provided by government, also see one monopoly giving it approximately 50 billion per annum.
Right, as I understood that, but I mean, I could be wrong myself, that the concern was, look, we would like you to have more funding. That's why we're agreeing to recapitalization. But it's surprising to hear what you are saying, that 50 billion goes from state-owned entities, because that's what they said. Now, I'm just checking... From Mr. Herman, is that exactly what they said? 50 billion.
Chair, within engagement, the CEO mentioned the amount of 50 billion. That amount of 50 billion goes to SOEs. We can also verify that from state-owned companies in total.
Thank you, Mr. Herman. Yes, Honourable William.
Thank you, Chair. I need clarity. It says here, this last sentence in that paragraph, that bullet, it says, a concern for the NEF was the support provided by government and SOEs to white monopoly capital to the amount of approximately 50 billion rands per annum. So are we, which part of government is giving, which part, of, it says they're provided by government and SOE to white monopoly capital. So do we know if there's a breakdown? Is it 25 billion from government and 25? I mean, I know it's all government, but you know what I'm saying? Is it the majority of money from SOEs? Where's this 50 billion coming from?
I think, Ms. Naidu, can we have a breakdown of the 50 billion? Status of support for cooperatives. Yes. I think keeping in mind that cooperatives come under small business development, there's no need for us to say too much but to refer. Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, I don't think we should be so narrow with cooperative. Cooperatives can be very big, and we should start looking at the establishment of big cooperatives in South Africa, because small business is small business, but you can have big cooperatives. Why aren't we putting emphasis on big cooperatives? Instead of spending 50 billion on white monopoly capital, why can't we spend 50 billion on cooperatives, big cooperatives in South Africa? Thank you.
Simply because it's not our mandate, but that's a technical term, division. Cooperatives, it didn't state that it was cooperatives only small. It's small business development and cooperatives, you see, the title, the mandate. But what we can do, and this is why I say, because it refers to another committee per se, is on this one about the committee alluded to the fact that support for cooperatives appeared to be limited, and notwithstanding that the mandate for cooperatives falls within small business development, the PC of Trade and Industry is of the opinion that big cooperatives, large cooperatives, should also be considered. Okay. But we need to make it clear that we're not jumping into your field. All right. Feedback on the progress, recent, etc., complaints. I hope everyone's following. Skewed allocation. Yes. I'm looking at those from poorer provinces. By the looks of things, it's only yourself, Honourable Mantashe, okay? Because the Western Cape and Gauteng are considered wealthy provinces.
I'm from a Mpumalanga, and so is our new colleague. Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, but I just...
From Mpumalanga.
Yeah.
We're majority in
Mpumalanga. Oh, we'll have to review you know, the committee inquired as to how they had done that, and then they informed the committee that it had made significant improvement in supporting the poorer, but were of the view that there was still room for improvement. A challenge for the NEF was that with limited human and
so, do you have, I mean, your report, do you want to say anything else there?
Chairperson, talking about the skewed allocation of financial support, when I did raise this with the NEF, they said that when it came to particular Mpumalanga, because I raised it on that issue, no, I must talk about this, Chairperson. The reason is that the provinces, they said the provinces are not submitting the applications. So perhaps we should put it into the report that MECs must start getting on board to approach the NEF for funding from those provinces.
Well, we could have put it somewhat along the lines of there's a need for government officials to be more proactive, you know, at provincial level and at local level, you know. Can we put it that way? Perhaps it's an indication as to how proactive Gauteng is. All right. But I think, yes, skewed allocation. Support for small, medium, and micro enterprises. And then you go on there. And I think the next time we bring them in, members, we should consider inviting small business to that budget. Do you agree?
Yes.
And maybe we should say that the committee was of the view that this engagement should include members of small business development and co-ops. Yes, Honourable.
Chairperson, I think that we should extend the next time we talk about NEF's distribution of funds to provinces, we should invite provinces or NCOP people to come in so that they can note these concerns from the NEF about some provinces not applying for these funds. You know what I'm saying? So we should somehow, you know, link with those provinces or some mechanism so that they can go back to their provinces and say, listen, there's money available. Can we please start, you know, utilizing?
Well, may I just point out here, we can, and we've done it in the past, in the previous term, we have actually invited the NCOP relevant committee members to join us. And so that's quite possible. We may also invite chairpersons of these committees from the provinces. Nothing in the rules precludes this. So we'll keep that in mind. The healthcare one, I know members were not unanimous about the view here, raised a concern, etc. The NEF informed that the government took as decision ago not to invest in that. And the NEF's investment started 6 years ago. The NEF expressed support for decisions along healthcare, etc. Currently, the return on investment by NEF was one of the highest achieved. The NEF was of the view that all business sectors should be open to black entrepreneurs. Of course, now all of that is a reality. It's not that it wasn't said. Of course, all business sectors should be open to black entrepreneurs. It's just unfortunate that we put across the view that, you know, health's here to make money. I mean, these days people tell their children, it seems, no, man, don't become an engineer, become a medical specialist. And we wouldn't like that as a perception, you know, to go across South Africa. Maybe we'll just look at how to word that. But is everyone else happy? Everyone's very quiet, all right. And you know, Honourable Eersterhazen, you haven't said a word so far. Yes?
Chief, thank you. I may apologize that I was actually doing something that I need to be involved in a committee at a moment sitting for this afternoon. But if I maybe could jump in here now, I on this one now, a considerable part of the DTI's budget vote is allocated to foreign and multinational companies, monopoly capital, and allocated to the private sector. And, you know, I would actually want to know what percentage and what how does it contribute to the triple BEE vote and to the gross domestic problem. And also, I think in the last, or the year before, the 25% of companies ownership was BEE, and then it jumped to in the last budget, if I can remember, to 51%. So what is it now?
I was just thinking about the proper framing of the language that we should use in a committee report, Chairperson, and I think because it is an official, or it will be an official document of Parliament, that we should try not to use overly charged language and rather use language that is legally, correct. And the legally correct word, black economic empowerment is the framework, the legal framework by which the state aims to achieve transformation in the economy. And so if a company is non-compliant in terms of black economic empowerment, then that is the proper description for what some like to call white monopoly capital, which is often neither white nor monopoly.
Yeah.
So I would prefer language like the state spends 50 billion rand on companies which are non-compliant in terms of black economic empowerment.
We must go along with that. Let's put forward a professional and legally compliant report with them. Thank you very much. Honourable Williams?
Chairperson, I support that. It also sounds better, more, they're not complying. You know, we want to get them. Because white monopoly capital doesn't suggest non-compliance. I think.
No, I think that's very, very clear. And we're talking about a piece of legislation as well. Thank you very much for that. That was really a sound bit of work there. Thank you. We then go straight on to something like, is it 3.4.1 strategic goals, or is it... Oh, sorry, Honourable Montage? They make it clear that they are actually supporting the national health care policy. We haven't said the word national there, but we need to put in that because that's what it is. It's a national health care insurance, but it's a policy. All right. But I did share your view there about the investment. You know that one's health has now become a commodity, and that's why I said I think that we would look at this again, as to how to put it. We don't want that perception to go through, but at the same time, I agree that every sector should be open to black entrepreneurs, full stop. Strategic goals, right, and then the performance indicators, and finally, the medium-term budget analysis, 3.4.3. But just before that, it was on NAMESA that we spent a bit of time. If you look at 3.4 going backwards, just after the health care, you'll see that. But as we have already spent some time in there, and we've already asked and requested staff to bump this up a bit. I think we can go through that, can't we, quite swiftly. We've spent time there. And then the income there is spelt out. Please take all of the comments into account as you go through that. And then the expenditure during its deliberations, the upgrade of equipment, the recapitalization, etc. And do all of you know where NAMESA's premises are? Maybe some of you don't know. They are located at the CSIR, of which, with science and technology, we are like almost 50% owners or something. We work together there at the CSIR. Beautiful premises as well in the park. Now, conclusions. I mean, it must be very pleasant to work in park-like surrounds, you know. Having considered the information, you need, we've got to just read, or, you know, if you're not in agreement with this, let us know. So I'm going to just read it, raise your hand up quick, and then you'd come back in writing. The committee was concerned that government and public entities were not complying with the procurement of designated products, which undermined the localization drive and job creation. Honourable Williams.
Chairperson, I don't think we should just use the simple word concerned. I think we should use something stronger than, you know, the committee was horrified that...
We're not using horror. We're not into the horror movies, but we will strengthen the word. The committee was of the opinion that the necessary monitoring, etc., should be introduced and to ensure that barriers to, etc., were removed. A major concern for the committee was that the SOEs, which should be the champions of industrialization drive, appeared to be impediments to its progress. The committee strongly condemns the non-compliance with the BBB, PFA, and the BBB, EE. I always ask this, I know we've spelt it out before, does every MP know who's sitting in the House today what the BBB, PFA is? Can you spell it out? Okay. We've certainly mentioned triple B double E. Don't look at ourselves. We deal with it. Look at the colleagues you spend dinner with and just ask them over dinner today. Right. Trade remains one of the vehicles through which economic transformation could be accelerated. The impact of the recent political changes in the United Kingdom, of Great Britain, my word, sure, they'll be happy with that, and Northern Ireland and the United States of South Africa remains a concern. The committee was of the view that South Africa, not Erica, I know we should maintain the benefits derived and negotiate new trade agreements with post-Brexit. Yes, I think we should support the minister in that endeavour. The committee welcomed the approach by DTI that all investors located within the SEZs and industrial parks should be given preference when employing local labour and procuring from domestic suppliers. The committee acknowledged the contribution to IMSEP. Again, to spell that one out, they would have forgotten but what it is, towards industrialisation and job creation. However, the committee was of the view that longer term incentives should be introduced ensure improved policy certainty for investors. Honourable Hill Lewis, your colleague, Honourable MacPherson, was very emphatic about that. The lack of political support regarding the implementation of and compliance with the BBB Act, EE Act remains a concern. Yes, I think we're certainly spelling that out. Support from government and state-owned entities is critical. And that an unambiguous position on the matter should be communicated. We can say must be. To do so, failure to do so would compromise the objectives of the legislation as well as delay economic transformation. The committee welcomed the measures introduced by, this is all under BBBEE Commission that would curtail the issuing of fraudulent certificates and ensure compliance with legislation. Can I ask quickly, in the Act, does it state what punishments, what sanctions there are? Just think about that and come back. The committee welcomed the initiative by the ECIC in exploring the establishment of a South African Export-Import Bank. The committee agreed with the assertion by the NEF that economic transformation has been negligible. Welcomed the announcement that the NEF will become a subsidiary of the IDC and the additional funding facilities it had secured, as this would ensure its sustainability. The committee recognized the challenges facing NAMESA in relation to its infrastructure recapitalization project, as it is critical to ensure that the national measurement standards are able to support its not just industrialization, but the safety of our people, you know? It's the safety thereof. It's a number of issues in that regard. And trade. So it's not just industrialization. I hope everyone has been put here in the acknowledgements. And then we'd certainly want to take, I'd like to certainly thank all the staff for all their work that they do. And we'll have to start asking the Parliamentary Secretary to Parliament to look at the issue. I am going to come there to look at the issue of after-hours remuneration. Honourable Esther. I have said Honourable Esther.
Chair, I'm sorry to take it back. I actually had my hand up. I just want to go back to 4.5 on conclusion. There's nothing wrong with the legislation and regulation that we adopted in the department, but the issue seems to be implemented. We maybe have incentives now for special economic zones and things, but it's not really happening. Communities and traditional leaders and things are really not consulted, and there's not benefiting at all from economic zone.
Well, indeed, all peoples of South Africa should benefit. That was the whole idea. I wonder if the researcher would just tackle that one. You know why I'm asking this one, Honourable Yesterhazen? The traditional leaders come into the whole factor of a traditional house. It's a separate issue. Now, when we passed this legislation, they were there. And it would be mindful of us to consider any statements they may have made in this regard, okay? Because we do have to consult with them as a committee, okay? But I hear what you say, and you're talking about operationally. So can we just do that before we finalize the report? Just check on this position. Will you do that, Ms. Madeline?
Yes, Chair, we'll look into that. Earlier you asked about offences and penalties for the BBB legislation. It's section 13O in the legislation. It gives a number of offences, such as misinterpreting the Act.
Imposition of the penalty, what is it? Is it just real right to you?
Sorry, I'm going to penalty now.
Because I think they'll just say you will be prosecuted, so I want to check. Yes, thank you very much. Let's also get Honourable Mbuyane.
No, you'll get it right. I wanted to check Monday 0.7. Which support that they need, that the committee is talking about, the political support, because we are here and we are strengthening, and we're talking about the officials to implement our policies and so forth. So which are those political support that they need? Thank you.
Yes. The reference to that came out of not only the recent study visit or whatever oversight and previous years, but that what we are aware of is when push comes to shove, and we do write to ministers to ask them to send their top people here for this. I am told on the very afternoon, no matter how stern the letter, no. And when I do ring up the minister direct, then we do get the people. Now, the reference to that is to do with what is reflected here in their responses. Does a DG or a CEO put a position as their policy without the minister knowing? So we may have to say the appearance of a lack. Because when a DG comes here and says X, then I must assume that that DG is reflecting the policy and he's not changing it, or she's not changing it. So I think that you do, but I do know when I've rung ministers directly to point these things out, then we get a result. No chair has to be ringing ministers directly to check whether the statement of the DGs are correct or not, or the CEOs. We should at least be able to accept that, you see. So I think that we may need to be... Oh, right. There is a need for the DTI and its entities to roll out further provincial public awareness, etc. Yes, that's great. But what about the perception, not the apparent perception. No. The perception that there's a lack of political support or something, I think make it clear, because then it should be seen as a perception, you see. Would that cover you, Honourable Mabunyani? Okay. Members, we do need to ask you to prepare your recommendations this afternoon so that we get it in. However, from what you have said, staff will prepare and craft out some recommendations, which we will email to you as well. But they may not be what you want. Do you follow? You may want to put in a few more. And remember, you have every right, this is your report, to come back to myself and Mr. Hermans to say, I missed this point, and it's not what I agree with. Do you follow? So that we could consult and put together a rephrasing of it. So I suggest you really go through this. When are we requiring things? When will you get the report back? On Friday. But we are adopting it on Friday. So by 12, we need to be able to hand this over to them to say at 2 o'clock they will begin to work on this and give you the email. Then can you put it in a colour what has been changed or some way? All right. Is that all right, members of staff? Yes. All right. Is there any overall comment you would like to make? Any overall comment? Like we said, we should have invited this committee, that committee. We've spoken about the House of Traditional Leaders. Is there anything else you feel we may have slipped up on as a committee now? Honourable
Esther Hazen? Just on something that you said, actually, maybe in tongue-in-cheek, why don't we reject bonuses? Really, I sit on committees where some of the entities that really will make your hair stand up. They are, one, for example, 15 billion rand illegal spending or fruitful wasting. And then they got a legal opinion that said that unaffordability is no reason not to give them bonus, but the very same guy got a bonus of 2.5 million rand. So I really think we must look at something and say, saying under conclusions, or I mean that consolidating and strengthening of the internal systems to prevent corruption and curb spending as well. My comment. Thank you.
No, I do think that issue around the bonuses is important. I really do. And I also think the gap between the lower layers and the top has also got to be reviewed. But I'm saying that, and I'll put it in, coming in, and you need to comment. So those things will come in, and we'll try and get what we've crafted as recommendations to you this afternoon, tomorrow morning, so that you can see it. They'll come in separate to the rest of the document, all right? All right. Now, I'm saying this because I make these big statements and then I get others to craft it. So there we are. May I just use the last 3 minutes to congratulate the department on the launch of the 20 million industrial park in Umtata. I was looking for the number of jobs that the DDGs Accorda said that this would do and achieve, and I looked all over. I couldn't quite see it, but I understand the park will has currently got an 87% occupancy, and it's not just a fence all around. It says it's employing 866 people currently. This is in your province, is it? Is Mthatha in the Eastern Cape there? The other thing is the National Empowerment Fund is looking at tourism, of growing tourism within the continent, and they've got quite a few issues around that stated very, very clearly. And I do think that I would like to indicate that we are meeting on Friday and that we do need to be here at 8:30 on Friday. G26. All right. And thank you very, very much for your hard work. I know all of you are in debates. Thank you for being here.